WrestleSpective Radio is not affiliated with World Wrestling Entertainment, TNA Wrestling, Ring of Honor Wrestling, or any other sports entertainment entity or personality.
You're listening to WrestleSpective Radio. Learn to love it.
Radio at fairtoflare.com. I'm Jason Mann, and with me is one of my cohorts at fairtoflare.com, and is Razor of Kickout Wrestling. Razor, how you doing?
Oh, I'm living, Jason Mann. How about yourself?
I'm doing reasonably well. You know, excited to talk about this match. It's John Cena versus Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 23, and really, I was very surprised at a match that I had certainly thought good things about, but not necessarily put like on the level of the great WrestleMania matches, but it really, I think it belongs there.
It's a really good match. I have a special connection to the match because I was actually there live.
Ooh.
I know. It's very exciting. It was a lifelong goal to go to WrestleMania, but I finally made it happen in 07.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like it's going to be happening again anytime soon because it's not coming anywhere near me,
right?
Since they seem to love Florida and Texas. Those are the places to be.
Yes.
Florida and the Southwest. But yeah, I was there. That place, Ford Field, is gigantic.
Yes.
I did not, I've never been in an arena that size before. We have pretty big stadiums here where I live, but I've never been in an indoor arena quite of that magnitude, and to see that many people, it was pretty mind blowing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I've never been to WrestleMania before. I went to the Royal Rumble 2010. That's the only pay per view I've ever been to. I sort of just missed going to WrestleMania 3 in Detroit. I lived in Toledo at the time, and my parents determined that I was a little bit too young. I was 7. I think I could have handled it, but it unfortunately didn't come to pass. But anyway, I was living far away from Detroit at WrestleMania 23 time. Otherwise, I would have tried to go. But
yeah, I had to make a road trip out of it, and it was. Yeah, I've been to 3 pay per views now. WrestleMania 23. King of the Ring 2002,
yep.
And Cyber Sunday 2006. So really, WrestleMania 23 was the good one out of that bunch.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've gotten some bad pay-per-views that I look more fondly on some of those bad ones because I was there, and it's a lot more fun when you're there, obviously.
Absolutely.
It's not as good of a show.
Yeah.
But WrestleMania 23 was a really fun show. I had a really good time there, and the main event kind of just capped everything off perfectly.
Absolutely. Kind of from what I remember of the buildup of this match, it sort of centered on teasing when Shawn Michaels would turn on John Cena. They were both World Tag Team Champions at the time, and kind of the idea that, Shawn Michaels' tag teams don't last very long, and he's a little bit untrustworthy when it comes to that. And they kind of sort of built to, teasing that he would do it, kind of leading to situations in which he even sort of teased that he would do it. And then I think finally, in the last week or two, he finally did.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels, not really a guy you want to get in a tag team with, because you're either going to get kicked in the face, you're going to get thrown through a window, or best case scenario, you're going to turn on Shawn Michaels and put him through a car window like Triple H did. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, Shawn has a history of not really getting along with others so well.
No, he does not. And I think that's a little bit of where art imitating life probably there.
Yeah, yeah. And it's also funny that, John Cena and Shawn Michaels were tag team champions before Triple H and Triple H and Shawn Michaels were tag team champions.
Yeah, DX, unless you count the New Age Outlaws, never getting out of those tag team belts, even though they were built up so much in their 06 run. But I think Triple H's injury probably played a role in that. And, of course, that probably played a big role in Shawn Michaels even getting this match.
That's a good point, yeah. Yeah, and let's not convolute the New Age Outlaws, shall we?
Yeah. Who?
Yeah, who? What? I didn't know. something that threw me in the beginning is that Michaels comes out to his DX music.
Yeah, because they were doing the whole thing where Triple H got hurt, and there was the spirit of DX lives on in Shawn Michaels. So they were – I guess they still wanted to sell those T-shirts really, really bad.
Wow, how inspirational that is.
That's probably – I mean, you know, not to be the cynical one about it, but he was carrying on the spirit and legacy of DX because, you know, those glow sticks and those T-shirts and the headband and the Snuggie and every other DX piece of merchandise. DX is really kind of the Budweiser of professional wrestling. They will put their logo on anything.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, that's good stuff, yeah. So and then Cena has what I would – I'm not sure it's like the – it's not the most elaborate entrance in wrestling history, but it's definitely like it takes like the longest to like get to the point. Like that – he basically starts like in – he starts in a car like way outside of the arena, and then he's like – you know, you see the car speeding through, you know, the streets and such, and then finally like making its way into a garage in the arena, and then making its way down a hall, and then finally getting – you know, then it gets into the arena, and then he comes out to it. I thought that just like it was kind of like a good idea on paper maybe, but it just like sort of took forever.
It went too long for sure, and I think they filmed the outside parts at like 4 a.m. And yeah. I have to applaud John Cena for that alone, even though John Cena wasn't the one driving it. I'll applaud whoever was driving it, because of all the things in my life that I would not want to do, driving in the streets of Detroit at 4 a.m. has to rank up in the top 10.
That's a fair point. Yes,
that is a scary place, my friend.
Yes.
If you can make it in Detroit, you can make it just about anywhere.
And exactly.
I liked the bit. I thought, you know, they did go long, and the crowd was already, you know, they were pretty split on Cena. The Detroit crowd really wasn't having a whole lot of him, so they weren't too much into it. It was not one of Cena's best WrestleMania entrances. I really loved the real Slim Shady one that he did with all the Cena impersonators. That was probably my favorite.
That was a good one, yes.
And I did like the color guard or the ROTC kind of guys that they had out, you know, with the guns flipping back and forth. And that one wasn't as detailed, but the car busting through was a great visual.
That's
and
true.
Looked really cool, but they could have just as easily, you know, shown him flying through the garage and then busting through.
Yes. Yeah. I would agree with that. Not to spend too much time critiquing John Cena's entrance, but
yes,
you know, anyway, so yeah. And yeah, I had forgotten in these past WrestleManias that Cena used to not wear blue jean shorts all the time, because he's in green shorts here. I think he's got
the khaki shorts on there. Yeah, he didn't have the Mark Echo deal with the jorts.
Yeah, yeah. So I would have said that those are less dorky than the actual jean shorts, I think.
I think it's a much better look. Who really wears jorts besides John Cena and Stone Cold Steve Austin? I don't really know anybody in the year 2011 that's still rocking the jorts.
Yeah. Bret Hart would rock the long ones, but
oh, that's true. Yeah. That I got to give Bret Hart credit for rocking shorts that go down to your ankle, Bret. Those are pants. I'm just telling you, buddy.
Well, you know, Bret Hart's Canadian, so we'll
he can get away with it. Yeah.
We'll let him slide on that, yeah.
When it's 30 degrees outside in Canada, you know, you throw on your jorts, because you know it's 30, it's a brisk, you know, it's a nice spring day.
Yeah, it is. Exactly. And Michaels has the red and whites, the baggy baggy tights. Well, not really tights if they're baggy, but whatever.
He started wearing those around WrestleMania 21, right?
I think I guess it would have been 20, where there was one year I think where he actually brought back the classic ones, like at a WrestleMania. I could be wrong about that, but I think you're right. It was about that time. So yeah.
Now that we're done with the fashion show portion of
it, let's talk about the match.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Kind of the early part is sort of, well, first, like, Michaels motions Cena to come over, and Cena is cautious, and he offers a handshake, but then Michael slaps him. So we kind of got Michaels trying to get in Cena's head. The crowd clearly, like you said, is definitely on Michaels' side, and then we have a, you know, kind of the cat and mouse thing where Cena sort of goes after Michaels with punches, and you know, Michaels ducks them, gets some jabs in, and Cena has to regroup for a while. They kind of do some chain wrestling, and then Michaels keeps like avoiding punches and then landing chops, and they do a little bit of trash talking. So kind of the wily veteran Michaels kind of outsmarting still, you know, young Cena, so to speak.
Definitely, yeah.
And Cena, wow, he is he's very muscular here.
Yeah, Cena's that's right around, you know, he's been throwing the Big Show around, and a couple months later he was throwing Kali around. You know, Cena ain't no dude to mess with. I think that guy, you know, lives in the gym and probably takes a lot of creatine.
I mean, he's a muscular guy now, but I mean, the difference between him and then was pretty stark to me. After a bit, you know, we kind of, eventually, Cena's kind of be able to, hit really a really big clothesline, which kind of shakes Michaels up, and then they sort of both kind of give each other a look, and then they kind of, you know, continue to be cautious. Michaels lands a Fez press, then Cena tries to dump him and gets hung up on the rope. The Fez press was it was superior to Snooki's Fez press, but not as good as Austin's Fez press, I would say.
I thought Snooki's Fez press was pretty awesome. It was definitely better than Randy Orton's crotch thrust of doom.
Yes, it was definitely better. I would agree with that. So, anyway, then they kind of build to Michaels getting the springboard moonsault onto Cena in front of the table, and then Cena at this point is kind of like selling his back. And I don't know. At this point, I was kind of feeling like this was very much sort of the modern version of like the Flair type match that he would have with like Luger or Sting, you know, guys who were good and athletic and could keep up, but like weren't necessarily like the most savvy workers in the world.
No, I totally agree with that. You know, Cena, I generally tend to defend Cena for the most part. And I think 2007 with this match was really Cena's highlight year. I think it was his banner year because I think maybe it was working with Triple H the year before and then working with Michaels this year in 07. I think he really kind of – I think something clicked for him. And I don't think – I thought the whole you can't wrestle thing with Cena was always kind of not true. I definitely see where a lot of people are coming from. I think a big portion of that had to come from his stuff he did with Kurt Angle, because Angle, as good as he was, wasn't necessarily the best at making other guys look good. If you couldn't keep up with Angle, and Angle was, you know, and Shawn Michaels himself said in his last DVD release that Angle was the first guy he worked with in years where he felt like he had to keep up with his opponent rather than his opponent keeping up with him. So I think a guy like Angle, if you're not ready to get in there with him, who's just a machine, he doesn't necessarily make you look the best. And I think that's what hurt Cena a lot in 05. But then I think, you know, that kind of stuck with him for a while. But then 07 rolled around after he worked with HBK and he had the match with Umaga at the Royal Rumble earlier in the year. That was one of probably my favorite Cena match ever. I think he kind of – everything sort of clicked for him, so to speak. I don't know if that's the right word to use, but I think the whole you can't wrestle thing had to go away in 07.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think, you know, Cena's been in way too many good matches at this point for anyone to believe that he's not a good professional wrestler, you know. Now, yeah. You know, he's limited, sure. You know, I mean,
He's not Flair. He's not Steamboat.
Right, yeah, it's a different, completely different thing, but he is, you know, he has his good match, or, you know, he has his match, and they're usually pretty good, and he understands how to have his match.
I think big match situations are where he strives, and that's where he thrives, rather. That's a WWE thing, you know,
yeah.
Got to perform in the big match situation, and I think outside of The Undertaker now, and yeah, HBK just retired last year, but I would say outside of those two guys, I'd say Cena's the best in the big match vibe.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of moving on to Cena hurting his knee and Michaels, you know, really working on it, like stomping on it, like slamming it into the post, like dropping his knee on the ropes and pulling at it, and that even like Cena like screams at the ref, like, get him off, like the really like selling the intense pain of it. And this is where I think Michaels just, I don't know, like kicks into like another gear here. Like I kind of like another side of Michaels that like I can never really remember seeing. Like he has like a really like stern look into his eyes. It's almost like a cold blooded, like psycho thing. like it's sort of like what, like, in theory, Randy Orton is supposed to be, but like it never really, you know, at least I'm sure, definitely for me and you, and I'm sure for a lot of people, never really, you know, clicks.
Yeah, Orton always comes across as forced.
Yeah.
And a little cheesy, but
yeah.
But I know what you're talking about here. HBK, something about, if you watch, I've been watching a lot of old Shawn Michaels stuff the last couple of months. There's something about Shawn's face that has changed you know, whether it's just aging, but he's aged like guys I've never seen age before. Like, his eyes kind of are deeper into his face, and he kind of gets this eerie look in his eyes when he's serious business Shawn Michaels. And yeah, I definitely see it in that match. I think it's kind of personified there.
Yeah, and he just really, I don't know, just the way he's going after it and the way, like, the intensity that he's having is just really, like, uncommon and really cool, you know? And you know, Michaels, he's obviously one of the greats of all time, and he's never, like, he was never, like, a personal favorite of mine until really, like, the 05, 06, like, later in his career where he, you know, I think he just – got a more serious vibe in general and was less like showy and less like, I don't know, less just silly and kind of goofy, you know. Now, obviously, when he was in DX, they obviously amplified yeah. the silly goofy stuff. But in the ring, a lot of the times, especially like you said, in the big matches, I think, you know, he really just, you know, was able to kind of convey some more depth and some more gravitas, you know, for lack of a better word.
I think that, you know, I think that comes with the maturation that he had in his time off. I mean, when he was a top guy in the 90s, he had a chip on his shoulder, and he'll be the first person to tell you that. And he was always out to either piss someone off or to show someone how wrong they are about him. So he always had something to prove. And I think while, you know, that attitude, the proving something always kind of stuck around with him because he always wanted to be the best. I think it wasn't so much of I'll show you. It's, you know, I'll show you. I'll give you a good show. And I think that's kind of where he turned the corner when he came back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. It's funny that he became a, you know, he, of course, you know, was able to become a convincing psycho by becoming a Christian.
Yeah, I think
equating those things to anyone who has deep religious convictions. I'm just I'm just noting the irony.
I think Kevin Smith's movie Red State will show us that next month when that comes out.
Okay.
Anyway. That's neither here nor there.
No, it is not. Anyway, Cena's able to recover a bit. They get into – they trade some punches and chops and get into a slugfest in the corner. Eventually, Michaels going after Cena, but he dives into the ring post and he bleeds quite strongly. And then Cena at this point is very angry about his about everything that he's had to endure during this match, and then he pounds all over the cut with quite a nice intensity as well. Also lands some shoulder blocks and an atomic drop. And the only flaw that I would say in this match is that his knee instantly seems much better. Like I just yeah. feel like his knee was being killed, and I understand, like, you know, there's the idea that, like, you know, he's going on adrenaline and he's not, you know, not feeling the pain, but I just feel like the greats, you know, like the Bret Harts or, you know, or even Michaels and certain other guys can simultaneously show you the pain that they are enduring when they are selling an injury while still being able to execute what they're trying to do.
Yeah, I think Shawn was always the best at that. You know, even if it's, well, sometimes it was real pain. I mean, WrestleMania 14 is a great example of him getting that adrenaline rush while he's clearly in so much pain.
Sure.
So I remember that being a huge gripe about Cena when that match ended. And I think that's probably a lot of people will still harp on that as to why it's not one of the better or one of the best WrestleMania main events in history. But I think, you got to chalk it up to the adrenaline rush. And yeah, Cena probably not really. He got a little too swept up in that moment and not really thinking about what was going on
sure.
5 minutes prior.
Sure. He lands the five knuckle shuffle and sort of waits for Michaels to rise. Michaels is able to counter the FU, but he gets whipped into the ropes and the super kick hits the ref. Cena tries to go for an FU, but then it's countered into a DDT. And then I love Michaels just has a really hateful, disdainful look in his eyes at this point. And he positions the ring steps and then lands a pile driver onto the steps. And just really good job of bringing the hate here. And then Cena has a huge gash on his head and, you know, is bleeding as well. And then Michaels drags him into the center of the ring, and then Jack Doan runs in and is able to get a two. That was just a really, really cool, different moment.
I remember that pile driver on the steps, that was a big ooh moment in the crowd. That's something you don't see a whole lot, and you'd never see it now.
No.
That was just 3 years ago. But yeah, that was rare for then, I would think, too. It was just that was a nasty little move to throw out, and I mean, those guys again were working like it was WrestleMania.
Yeah, and of course, you know, this is it's not like there's like a blood feud here. I mean, you know, they have a rivalry, but it's more of an I respect you kind of, or maybe not I respect you, but like we're on the same side kind of thing. We're, you know, athletes competing for a championship as opposed to, you know, I want to kill you for you sexually assaulting my wife kind of thing.
Yeah, like WrestleMania 25 with Orton and Triple H. But
yeah,
I think, you know, that was a big part of the build too, is Shawn was just so desperate for that one last run with the title, which he never got, which is just kind of a shame. But you could feel it. You could feel Michaels wanted this damn title and he wanted to beat Cena so bad, and he would do whatever he had to do. I mean, that goes with the whole thing with the will he or won't he when he turned on him when they were tag champions. It was just Shawn wanted it so bad and he would do whatever he had to do. And that's Shawn Michaels in a nutshell, kind of.
Mm-hmm, definitely. At this point, Michaels is able to get the flying forearm, and they do in the kip up, and then he goes to the top and he hits a elbow drop. He plays the crowd for a bit, then teases the super kick, but Cena manages a really cool out of nowhere clothesline, and they trade some more chops and some punches, and the figure four is reversed into kind of a cool sunset flip for two, and yeah. And then Cena is able to catch Michaels, and he hits the FU, but he's slow to cover. That's only gets two, which was a really great near fall.
Yeah, the crowd the crowd was so great with the near falls throughout that whole show. Really, I'll talk more about that here in a little bit. But yeah, that match. Oh man! Aside from Chris Jericho, Shawn Michaels, he knows a near fall.
Yes, definitely. And Cena then puts Michaels on top, and then he tries the FU, but he gets rattled with an elbow, gets pushed down, and they do a body press, but then Cena rolls through and ends up picking him up, and then tries the FU again, but Michaels is able to dive out. Then he avoids a super kick and tries a STF, and eventually Michaels is able to kick out of it repeatedly and then gets a small package, and then Michaels misses the enziguri, and then the STF is locked in, and then he teases getting to the ropes. There's a really good struggle there, and then he finally gets to them after almost passing out, and then the ref pulls Cena off, then kind of berates him, and then Michaels kind of gets the out of nowhere super kick. And then another slow cover gets to another great near fall. And then both, like, I love the kind of the exhaustion here. And then they both kind of are up barely at nine. And they're kind of even like balancing off of each other. And then,
yeah.
Yeah. And then a great finish with Cena trying the FU and then Michaels countering. But then Cena, you know, being able to lock in the STF for the last time. And then Michaels struggling again, but then finally tapping out. So.
Yeah,
great stuff. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's a big little period there. You know, like WrestleMania, the 20 sticks out, and that match, of course, I love when big title matches end on a tap out. I don't know, something about that just it makes it cooler. WrestleMania 24 was the same when Undertaker had Edge in the Hell's Gate. I love when a match ends on a submission. Sometimes it's not something I want to see all the time, but when you get that big match feel. And when you got the big struggle between two guys who just won't give up, and then finally one guy just has to just tap out, I just love it. It's a great ending to a match.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's funny because, you know, for forever there was the whole, like, if somebody submitted, like, in wrestling, like, it was, like, the end of their career. Like no one ever – like, no one of note ever submitted until, you know, probably the late 90s. I guess probably, you know, kind of when – Ken Shamrock kind of came into
tapping out into wrestling.
Right. Yeah, you know, but guys, you know, never submitted. I mean, that was just like a, you know, you were completely wussing out. You were a coward and a fake if you submitted. And I guess, you know, now that we see UFC and like, you know, in Ken Shamrock and that influence, obviously that changed that mindset. But that's, you know, kind of interesting how that's changed over the years.
Yeah, good guys couldn't give up. You couldn't give up if you were a good guy.
Yeah, but even bad guys really didn't give up. I mean,
no, not a whole lot. I think Brett would win a lot of matches with the sharpshooter, but he would also win a lot of matches with like roll ups out of nowhere and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he would later, but it was but beating top guys with a sharpshooter, that didn't happen too often.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I would I would put this on the level of the. Of the great WrestleMania main events, like on the level of WrestleMania 20, WrestleMania 17, you know, WrestleMania 26, I would put it in that, you know, very top tier. You know, I think it belongs there, even, you know, with some of the minor flaws we talked about. I mean, it's really just great drama, great action, you know, great performances by both, and just really incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great showcase of Cena. Like I said, I mean, Cena's the poster boy. He's been the poster boy for the last 7 years now, and I think that year, I harp on this point again, I just think that year was Cena's best, and as tired as I kind of am getting a Cena now, I guess I'm kind of where everybody else has been for the last couple years of kind of getting tired of seeing the same thing coming from him. And the guy still performs big in big match situations, and I just think that year in particular was really when I had to sit back and be like, what Cena matches are you watching if you're saying this guy can't wrestle? There's just a lot of really good stuff from Cena that year. And yeah, definitely when you work with Shawn Michaels, you're definitely going to see the pinnacle of it. And it was a good cap to a great show. I thought WrestleMania 23 was one of the better WrestleManias, especially in recent years. The Donald Trump stuff was so fun with Vince and him and, mm-hmm. and Umaga and Bobby Lashley. That match was a lot of fun. And I loved – maybe my only gripe – about the main event was, at least being there, the way I remember it, is the crowd was so much more excited when The Undertaker beat Batista, and I wonder if maybe that match should have gone on last. But again, you don't always want to, you know, there's a lot more people watching at home than are in the arena, but and you know, once the match is over, the match is over. But I just think the way the crowd exploded for The Undertaker beating Batista was a lot more than when Cena beat Michaels. I think that would be my only gripe about the placement of matches on the card. But I still don't know. That match was a half hour. Cena Michaels was a half hour long, and it was definitely a better match, although I really think Undertaker and Batista is one of the more underrated title matches in WrestleMania. But so it's kind of tough to say. I don't know where those matches should have gone, but for crowd reaction alone, the Undertaker reaction for winning the title off Batista was huge.
Yeah, well, but who would have predicted that Batista and Undertaker would have been that great of a match? I mean, you go.
You're absolutely right. Those two had chemistry that I did not know that Batista could have with anybody. I mean, right. The Undertaker gets saddled with guys like that. And I don't, maybe saddled is a harsh word for Batista, but The Undertaker gets put in situations like that a lot, where it's guys that, you know, you think could actually beat The Undertaker, and a lot of times they're not always the best technically. And Batista was kind of coming off a long string of being pretty stale.
Yeah.
And man, The Undertaker just revitalized him. Totally, I think.
Yeah, well, and I mean, it was still the idea that Undertaker was having a lot of great matchups was still kind of a new thing in 2007. I mean, that was really
also true. Yeah,
yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you know, the idea, you know, of Undertaker super worker is, you know, was sort of it was very new. So, yeah, I think it's a really great WrestleMania too. Yeah, that was a really great Money in the Bank, if I recall. I mean, they're all pretty good, but
yeah.
Yeah,
that was great because it had Hornswoggle getting the Green Bay Plunge off the top of the ladder.
Yes.
I just remember seeing that. I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah. My only gripe about that was Edge got screwed out of his WrestleMania undefeated streak, which he could have used against The Undertaker a year later.
Yeah. But, well, you know, they still called it. They still said he was undefeated, even though he wasn't really. So.
That is true, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he was never pinned or submitted. So, you know.
Fair enough. And that's all that counts in WWE these days. So.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. But
yeah, it was a great show. And I totally get the idea. I don't think anybody expected The Undertaker and Batista to be as good as it was. But and so it totally makes sense for Cena Michaels to go on last. And it was the better match.
Yeah.
Regardless, but I do think the way that crowd went nuts for The Undertaker. I remember I went nuts. I was jumping up and down screaming because I had never even seen a world title change hands in person before. So that was very exciting for me, and you get to see it at WrestleMania, of all things. It was just a really cool experience, and I hope WrestleMania comes towards the Midwest sometime again soon.
That would be nice, yeah. So, but yeah, I'm totally in agreement with you. It's a great show and a fun time. So any other memories to share?
No, I think I'm good on this one. I mean, okay. It's the match speaks for itself, really. If you've never watched Cena Michaels, if you're not a Cena fan, I would suggest this would be one of the three matches I would suggest. I'd say Cena Michaels, Cena Umaga, and give me one more, Jason, man. Not to put you on the spot or anything.
How about Cena Great Khali? He actually pulled a decent match out of Great Khali that year too.
Was that the one at One Night Stand?
I think that's it. Yes.
Yeah, that one's great. Oh, and of course the stuff with Edge. But yeah, the one with Great Khali is one to watch because it's actually good.
Yeah. So there you go. Yeah, well, I also always appreciate sharing, especially since you were there. Good to get the insight from that. So, thanks everyone for listening. We're obviously in the home stretch on our series in WrestleMania main events, but we got another one coming at you tomorrow. So check it out, and we'll be back later.